The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
So last week, and I don't want to get into the abortion issue too much, because I've spoken about life a lot over the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure some of you are bored about hearing about an Irish guy talk about how critical life is, but it's such a critical issue. But last weekend, the Irish people got together and they voted, and they voted overwhelmingly to allow abortion. The vote was over 66% yes. It was a landslide. It was crushing. Our country, Ireland, changed. You can feel the difference. Ireland changed that weekend as those results. And everyone was cheering and laughing and joking and thinking this is wonderful and how wonderful it is. Then you had all the talking heads on the media, you know, do the usual political analysis. Well, what political leader gained most from supporting abortion? It's wonderful, isn't it? These are discussions that Ireland had last weekend and have had ever since. It's a great day. And it needs to be pushed through because it got such an overwhelming mandate. I hear talking heads on the media going, isn't it amazing how Ireland has changed in the last 50 years? How people are looking at Ireland so much more differently now. How we're so much more progressive. Isn't it wonderful? You know, 50 years ago, we were a dull, boring, conservative country. And, you know, no one looked to us for anything as a world leader. Now we are a world leader. You know, we were the first to legalize gay marriage. We were the first to bring in a smoking ban where you can't smoke in places of work. And we're now the first to legally vote for abortion. How wonderful are we? We are a world leader. We are leading the world. How great are we? We are so liberal. We are so progressive. We are on the cutting edge. Wonderful, isn't it? So let's talk about what I learned from that referendum. I'll be honest with you, the result doesn't shock me. You know, I said to some people privately, and they were asking me what was I thinking, and some people in America were asking me for updates, and I went, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it cracked 60%. They're like, no, it can't be. I went, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it went actually higher than 60%. I'm not trying to say that I was a Glenn Beck prediction or I'm super smart. I just knew what the ground was saying. I just knew the feel of it. The analysis from some of the more secular people is that this result is the end of Catholicism in Ireland. That they have so linked life to Catholics, to the Christian Church. And that this is the death note, this is Ireland's, filing for divorce. So here's some of the things I want to talk to you about. If you want to just step away from the issue and be absolutely honest about it, forget the emotions of the issue if you can for a minute. And I know it's hard because it's such a serious subject. The abortion people played the election and the build-up to the election, and all their work in the lead-up to the election, perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Because, if I may use something that Margaret Thatcher once said, to the key, one of the keys to success, they followed it to a T. Margaret Thatcher once said, first you win the argument, then you win the election. That is what the abortion people did, and they did it to a T. They won the argument before a ballot was cast. In fact, they actually won the election, quote unquote, even though it wasn't really an election, it was a referendum. They won it before the referendum was even called. They won the argument. The proof that I can say of this is there was an exit poll done after the election, and it was quite a sizable amount. It was like 4,000 people were interviewed. By a research poll at the actual of voters. There weren't, you know, it wasn't one of these exit polls where people could have voted or didn't vote. They actually voted. 75% of people surveyed said they knew that the referendum, the build-up didn't change their mind. They knew exactly how they were going to vote. Now, obviously, some of those people could have been pro-life. If I had been interviewed, I would have been one of those 75% because I've been pro-life. You know, there's nothing you can say to me that goes, hey, you know what, maybe abortion mightn't be such a... No, there's nothing you can say to me. I've taught this issue a long time. But the argument had already been won. Abortion, the argument has been won. In a large chunk of people's hearts. It's a choice. They don't see it as a baby. They see it as a clump of cells. They see it as a choice of the mother. They had won that argument. And then the referendum came and they knew they were ahead. And then other things happened. And pretty much the pro-life people had to do a miracle or some ungodly presentation somewhere to do a mass appeal, or the government had to make some major mistake for the pro-life movement to win. It didn't happen. So abortion was carried 66, over 66, 33. They won the argument. The second thing that I learned, and again, this wasn't a shock, was your credibility matters. Now, before I say what I'm about to say, I say this as a Christian. And I say this as someone who used to be a Catholic. The Catholic Church has ruined its credibility in Ireland. The Catholic Church has ruined its credibility with mainstream. It has been helped by the media, because the media don't like the Catholic Church. It has been helped by certain other individuals outside who are not Catholics. But a large part of it has done, the damage has been done by Catholics themselves. The large chunk of the damage came when priests did inhumane things to little boys. And when the Catholic Church either were silent or covered it up, or in some cases defended it. Their credibility was shot with the mainstream people. When you defend that, or when you're silent on a priest who has done barbaric things to an innocent little boy, why should I ever listen to you on any issue of substance? The third thing on the Catholic Church was, over here, the pulpits have gone quiet. I used to go to a Catholic church. And if you've ever been to Mass in a Catholic church, it's very regimented. You open with prayers, and then you have a reading from the Old Testament, you have a reading from the New Testament, you have a reading from the Gospel, you have a sermon, then you have a load more prayers, and you say your communion, and then you have a few more prayers and you leave. It's all the same. The sermon is the one part that changes, because it changes from week to week. It changes from priest to priest. It's at their discretion, quote unquote, to, you know, share what's on their heart or to give a thing. In the Catholic Church I go to, or used to go to, I go to on a very rare occasion now, the sermon isn't judged by what it's spoken about. The sermon isn't judged on the passion that it's given with. The sermon isn't judged by the person it's given by. The sermon is judged by how long it takes. That's what a sermon is judged by. I'll listen to you for a few minutes, but don't go on and on about me. It has to be quick and snappy. And most people during the sermon are reading a newsletter. So the pulpits have gone quiet and they've lost their meaning. Why am I sharing all this with you? Because you're like, John, that's the Irish referendum. I'm sorry about it, and I'm sorry Ireland's gone down this, but why are you sharing this with me? I'm an American. All right, I don't live in Ireland. This doesn't affect me. I'm sharing this with you because we can learn lessons from it. We are living in a world that is equally hated and haunted by what's going to happen. Shared some of the stories with you in the previous segment about what's happening in Israel, what's happening in North Korea, what's happening in Europe, what's happening with world debt. We are living in a world where we are going to face major obstacles. And we are not prepared for it because we don't discuss them. We don't talk about them. We just get outraged. Or we are so good at telling people what we don't like. I don't like you. I don't like this. It should be banned. I don't like the way you do things. We live in a culture where we are all so political. It's all about winning, quote unquote. Winning the next election. That is all we ever seem to care about when we talk about politics. We need to start winning arguments. And we need to start making the case of not what we are against, but what we are for. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was talking about how I'm going to prep this show, and I was like, I feel like, I don't know, I wish I could tell you, you have the answers. This is the frustrating thing for me. I am so honored and humbled to be behind this microphone to talk to you every week. But sometimes I'm like, how do I tell you the answers to make a difference? Because the answer is the same. The answer today is the same as it was yesterday, as it was the day before, as it was 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, 3 decades ago. The answer is freedom. The answer is what your founders were so smart by. Your founders were exceptional for a reason. There isn't one problem we face today that you cannot solve by understanding what the founders' vision for man was. Not America, for man. Because they said rights came from your creator. They didn't say all American rights from America's creator. They said for all men. We need to start making the case for life, for liberty, for the pursuit of happiness, for leaving people to hell alone. For limited government, and we not only need to make the argument for it, when the case for it, and support and evidence for it, but we need to start winning those arguments. And we need to start winning them on all sides. Because it's easy to say, oh, I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a constitutionalist, John. When was the last time you read the Constitution? When was the last time you understood the Constitution? When was the last time, let me ask you a question which I'd love to know the answer for. When was the last time Congress did something constitutional? When was the last time they passed a bill they actually had the remit to pass? When was the last time they passed a bill that was included under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution? And when you look at all the bills they have, well, this Congress hasn't passed that many, but go through the last 10, 5, 10, 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, and look at all the bills they passed and see how many of them are actually constitutional. We need to make the case. We need to win the argument and not look for the media to win the argument and not look for the politicians to win the argument. We need to win the argument among our friends and among our neighbors of why freedom is the ultimate reward, why freedom is man's best experiment. That isn't even man's. We need to start telling people what we are for. But we also need to understand that everything we do in our life, no matter how big or how small, it is critical we do it with credibility. Because a time is going to come, whether you believe me, if you don't believe me, if you think, oh, there's John with his tinfoil hat and his conspiracy theories again, listen to the IMF. The IMF are hardly conservative, freedom-loving people. They said this world is okay for about 2 years in the world economy, but in 2 years, we are in major trouble. That's the IMF. We need to have credibility so that when we start sharing things and when we start making the argument, we have credibility because we have always acted. What was that thing your founder said at the Declaration? Oh yes, honor, that's sacred. We cannot blow our credibility, even on something that seems so good, that short term. We need to have credibility. We need, if you're a Christian, if you're a Jewish person, if you're an atheist, you must act with honor. It's easy to talk principles. It's easy to say what you are for. You must live that life as well. We need to start making the case for freedom, for limited government, and for leaving people to hell alone. Because if we don't, the world is going to face all these problems, and we're going to be too busy about, oh, did you see what Roseanne tweeted over the weekend? Did you see what Samantha Bee said on our show? No, I don't care. I care about much more serious issues. I care about issues that, I don't know, actually affect me and affect my way of life. We need to start sharing why America was exceptional, why America is different to the rest of the world, why you have had success that is unparalleled, that more people than people in Ireland, than people in Europe, than people in England, people in Australia. Why is America exceptional? Why is America different? It's different because America is an idea. Yes, it's a landmass, it's a country we can identify, but America at its very core is an idea, and we need to start sharing that idea. We need to start sharing it to liberals, we need to start sharing it to socialists, we need to start sharing it to Republicans, and we need to start sharing it to Republicans and conservatives and libertarians. We need to start sharing it again with everybody, because it is a powerful idea. It is a powerful idea. It is saying to any individual, I don't care your race, your color, your background, your education, your sexuality. I don't care. You could be gender fluid. You could be a hippie. You could have hair that's the color of the rainbow. You could have 20,000 different piercings in your face. You could sleep with men. You could sleep with women. You could sleep with everyone. You could sleep with no one. You could be having, virtual stuff on the internet. It doesn't matter. You could be rich. You could be poor. The only limit you have in life is the one you set yourself or the one you accept someone else sets for you. It's an empowering message. We need to share that. We need to win that argument. That you don't need some politician in government. You can do it. Don't always look for someone else to do it. You can do it. And if they don't believe, they can encourage them, inspire them, empower them to say, yes, you can. There is nothing holding you back. And if you happen to listen to this message and you're American, you go, you have the history to prove it because you're an American. You have that legacy of your father's generation, your grandfather's generation, your great-grandfather's parents' generation. Look at everything they overcome. There was a time in this world when people said to me, when would have laughed at you, said, I'm going to go to the moon. They would have said, are you crazy? Americans went to the moon. There would have been a time if you had said, I'm going to win the Cold War and not a missile is going to be fired. Are you crazy? That's what you did. There's going to come a time in this world where people would have said, I'm going to have a production line and cars are going to replace the horse and cart. Are you crazy? Oh my God, you are so stupid. Look what happens. There's going to be a time where there's going to be this great technology called the internet where people, you can listen to an Irish guy who's absolutely crazy 6,000 miles away telling you how great your nation is. You're crazy, that'll never happen. No, listen to that guy. Well, it turns out quite a few of you do. That is why. That is your legacy. That is the American legacy. It is a history of making the impossible possible. We need to start sharing that message because it is a powerful message and it needs to be heard today more than ever before. Because here's the truth. The simple choice we all face right now is liberty or tyranny. We are on the path to utopian tyranny. America is, Europe is, the rest of the world is. That is the path we are on. We are facing more issues today with violent, evil dictators like Kim Jong-un in North Korea, like the Ayatollah in Iran. But we have the power, we have the message, we have that idea that is America, and we have the technology and the innovation for people that can overcome it, where we truly can be the freest generation that has ever lived if we are just willing to work for it, if we are just willing to sacrifice for it, if we are just willing to put our petty differences aside and all our little outrages and say, well, you're different to me. Doesn't matter. We're all on the same side. We're all part of the human race. Now let's get forward. Dare I say it, let us progress forward to a freer tomorrow. Let us actually progress. Let us not look back like progressives do to man controlling other man. That is the problem and the solution that we face today. But we must start winning the arguments, and we must do it with credibility. And our credibility is on the line in everything we do, no matter how big or how small that action is. We must be people who think honor is sacred.
This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.